This is the Legal Lowdown, brought to you by Bell and Buxton.
Hi, I'm Sherelle. Today we're doing a podcast at Bell and Buxton Solicitors. For those of you who don't know, Bell and Buxton are a family-orientated firm who specialise in a lot of different areas. Now I'm going to pass you over to Charles, who will talk a bit more about what the wills and probate team do.
My name's Charles Neal. I'm the head of the wills and probate department. We help people of all ages dealing with their affairs, including preparing wills for them, powers of attorney, lasting powers of attorney, tax planning, trusts, and all those sorts of things. We do concentrate sometimes on older client matters, but one of the things I've learned over the years is that a will is for everyone of every age. I work with Sherelle and several others in the team who support everything that we do here at Bell and Buxton.
In this episode, we're going to talk about the particular challenges you might face if you don't make a will. Specifically, we're going to talk about 1, what will happen if you don't make a will? 2, is it necessary to make a will if you have really simple circumstances? And 3, how easy is it to make a will? So, Charles, what are the particular challenges when a person dies without making a will that you've come across?
It's always interesting when people come to see me, they often say they want to make a will because they're trying to avoid probate, and probate seems to be this big thing that they don't like, and they're scared of, and it's supposed to be something that hangs over them if they haven't sorted themselves out, as it were.
Yeah, Charles, because probate's actually the process you go down once you have a will, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And it's not a difficult process particularly. There are a number of things that you need to do about it, but it's there to help people deal with an estate after somebody's died. Whereas actually, what they're trying to avoid is what we call intestacy, which is the rules that apply and distribute an estate if you haven't got a will. And they are actually occasionally quite scary, even for me. And you sometimes get into situations where the most unexpected things happen. The rules of intestacy are also there to try and decide how an estate is dealt with, but by definition it's very much more complicated because the law is trying to work out what circumstances might arise and in particular circumstances who gets what.
I once dealt with an estate where a man had prepared a will but didn't get round to signing it, and unfortunately he didn't have any close family members, so his friend came to see me to deal with his estate, and unfortunately she wasn't to receive anything, but we had to chase down the family members who were all distant relatives who we'd not spoken to for a number of years. So what we actually had to do was instruct a tracing company who had to put together a family tree, track down exactly who would be entitled to the estate and also who would be entitled to deal with the estate. It was quite a difficult, lengthy process and did actually cost the beneficiaries some of their inheritance. So that's just an example of why it is a good idea to put a will in place to make it really clear who can deal with the estate and who is going to receive from the estate.
Yeah, I think every solicitor who works in our field has lots of examples of that sort of thing. And I always remember one that sort of hung around my neck for a long time when a lady died and her niece instructed us. She hadn't done a will. She believed it was simpler not to. But it turned out she was an elderly lady, and I think she was one of 13 siblings, all of whom had to be traced. I think she was the youngest by about 10 or 15 years. So all these siblings had then had children of their own. And of course, most of them had died. Some of the children had died, and it went down several generations. And we had to get agents to find all these people, contact them and try and sort through it all. And in the end, even they weren't all identified, and things like insurance came in to try and cover the gap between finding everybody and the cost of doing all of that. So it is a big problem in testacy sometimes.
I bet a lot of people, Charles, are thinking that this doesn't actually apply to them because they might have close family. So they're probably thinking they don't need a will because it's going to go to close family anyway. So what's your experience of that?
I agree. People think that. The classic example there is unmarried partners. If you are living with somebody and you're not married, if one of those partners dies, the unmarried partner, no matter how many years and how many kids you might have together, they have no right to inherit anything. And it's in society, I suppose, the most natural thing that everybody imagines, that that couple shared their life together, that the person who's left should get everything, or at least the bulk of it. And similarly, sort of half siblings, stepchildren, and that kind of thing, which we see a lot in society now. And it's just a normal, that the blended family is a very common thing, but it has no recognition in the rules of intestacy as they stand. I think the other thing which often comes up when people are married and have children, for example, they think, well, that's easy, because if I die, everything will go to my husband or my wife. And then when they die, it'll all go to the children. That's only true to a degree. And if you've got an estate worth more than £270,000, which would include, of course, a house, so a lot of estates are worth more than that, then the surviving spouse will only get a portion and share the estate with the children. Again, that may not in all cases be a huge problem, but we had a case where a fairly wealthy gentleman died suddenly and unexpectedly, and he hadn't made a will. He hadn't thought he'd got to the age where he needed to make a will. So his wife only got a small share of the family home that they were living in and had to share the rest of the house with her children and the rest of the wealth of the husband was all shared with the children. The children at the time were under the age of 18, so very little could be done to change things. And it just wasn't a good situation to be in. And the business that the gentleman who died had been involved in more or less just froze over because nobody could really get their hands on anything and do anything. So it took a long time to get to a point where that business was operational again and bringing money in for the widow and the children to live off. But I think the problems are there, even in a relatively small estate. And just to repeat, really, especially if we're not married or we're in a blended family relationship where every morning you imagine, if I were to die, so-and-so would get everything or a chunk of everything. And the rules of intestacy don't follow that pattern at all, really.
The rules of intestacy also don't allow people to put any security in place for children either. So obviously, if one of them dies and then remarries, it might all go to new husband or wife and their children haven't got any protection. You also mentioned about business. So that's just another reason to make a will. If somebody's got a business, intestacy doesn't really allow you to deal with that in a very good way. Often the business is going to suffer dramatically if the intestacy rules are followed.
I always remember one of my law lecturers saying, I think in our first year in law, she was a bit of a cynic herself, I suppose, but she said, you've probably learned enough by now to discover that law isn't so much about justice as about certainty. And I think the point with the will is you set down what you want, so there's certainty. Everybody knows what they need to follow, and you've made sure that your wife, your husband, your children, whoever, get what you want them to get under the terms of your will. Even if that's more or less the same as what might happen if you died without a will, by writing it down, you've made it absolutely clear and given a blueprint for people to follow. And importantly, you've decided who's actually going to do that for you. You've appointed executors who are going to look after your estate and share it out in the way that you've asked them to, rather than relying on next of kin to fight amongst themselves to decide who's best place to deal with your estate for you. So to me, and I'm conscious that I'm dealing with it every day, so perhaps, you know, that rubs off eventually. To me, it just makes perfect sense to write a will, whatever your circumstances, really the moment you're 18, even if you don't own a property, but certainly the moment you start owning a property, certainly the moment you start having children or in a relationship, shared property, anything like that, because you just get an element of certainty which you don't get when you don't have a will.
I think in particular, what you've just said is the bit about executors. So what most people don't realise is when you do make a will and you appoint your executors, it means they can start dealing with matters straight away. There might be certain aspects of it they have to wait until probate is granted, but their authority comes from the will. Whereas if you're looking at intestacy rules, nobody technically has any authority to deal with the estate until you've gone through the process. So quite often there's a delay, which can be quite frustrating for family members and the people left behind who are dealing with it.
Absolutely. And sometimes that delay can be quite protracted. We've had cases where, you know, a house has stood empty as it was left on the night that the people who owned the house left and never came back. And it's been 18 months before anybody was allowed to go into the house to clear it out and sort out the estate. So, yeah, all those things can arise if you don't have a will.
So I think it's really clear then that it is necessary to make a will. For you and I think we'd say it is quite easy to make a will because we do it every day. But for our listeners, how easy do you think it is to make a will, Charles?
I do think it is easy. What you need to think about is what you think you have in terms of valuable possessions, what there is in your estate, and who you want to give it to if you're not here. And then talk to your solicitor, talk to Bell and Buxton. We can help you go through that process. And it's usually a very simple half hour to an hour meeting with one of us, where we talk through all the options, all the sorts of things you can do, listen to what you want to do, and then we can translate all that into a draft will, which admittedly is a little bit of legal jargon, but is usually fairly comprehensible. But then you can go through all of that with us to check that it does what you want it to do. And if it does, it's just a matter of signing it. So once it's done, it's done. And it isn't a hugely complicated or difficult thing to do. People do find it difficult. I think that's because it's the whole thing about thinking about who we are, what we've got, what we've done, what we've achieved, and where we're going in life. But that can also be, you know, quite cathartic and can help to just get a bit of a perspective on life as well. So it's a win-win as far as I can see.
And what I would say is just pick up the phone anyway, give us a call to at least find out if you do need a will, if you're unsure, and we can have a chat through it with you, talk about what your circumstances are, and at least just talk you through what is needed to make a will so that you can have a think about it. If you want to do that in your own time and come back to us, there's no pressure.
And I think there are then people who have added issues, maybe people that they want to make sure are specifically looked after, people who have particular needs and wouldn't, for example, be able to inherit a house or a lot of money. And we can talk about all the options for that as well, none of which is recognised in the rules of intestacy, but can, of course, get put into a will. It may be a little bit more complicated, but that's what we're here for, to kind of talk through the options and work out the ways that you can do all of those things. Some people put off making a will because they're not sure before they start what the answers are to the questions that they know they've got to ask to make a will, like who my executors are going to be, who are the guardians going to be, where's my estate going to go. But then the point is, if they come in and talk to us, by talking these things through, we can provide options and hopefully come up with a solution that they're happy with. So don't put it off.
I think one of the problems, Charles, is that people think that once they've put a will in place, that it's set in stone and that they won't be able to change it in the future. But as you know, what we often say to people is, firstly, if your circumstances change at all, please come and see us to review your will and chat through whether we need to make any changes. And secondly, just review it periodically anyway, because sometimes things change what you might not know about, like the rules relating to tax or a number of different things, really. So come and obviously review your will and we can change it if need be in the future. But it's better to have something in place now than obviously not have it in place and disaster strike and have to go down the intestacy rule route instead.
Absolutely. And I think once people have made a will, it actually becomes quite a lot easier to change a will. I wouldn't recommend somebody changes a will every month, but certainly every few years, have a look and make sure it's up to date, as you say. And if circumstances change, if financial circumstances change, personal circumstances change. So young people often make a will and then they'll come and change it when they have a baby, because their circumstances have changed. But once you've done it once, it's a lot easier to do it the second time. So in this episode, we've talked a little bit about intestacy, what happens when you haven't got a will. We hope you've enjoyed it, and please subscribe to our other podcasts. Next time, we're going to talk a little bit more about what happens when you have got a will and the process of probate. For now, that's all from myself and Sherelle. Thank you.
The opinions presented in this podcast are for general information only. Any action undertaken based solely on these opinions is made at your own risk. This podcast should not be considered as professional advice. If you are considering making a will, as discussed in this episode, we recommend you seek legal advice. Please do feel free to contact us for further assistance.